if you really want to experience the Christian life, the full and abundant, the overflowing life of the Lord, then you have to give him the whole offering.
Amen.
If you want to just kind of like, you know, sample this and sample that and give God a little of this, a little of that. But it's in the areas where you want to hold back, where you're going to continue to be bound. If you really want to be free indeed, you're going to have to surrender the whole thing to God. Amen. Body, soul, and spirit. Give him the whole offering. Amen. So the Lord can fully possess you and have every part of you. So again, if you want to give the enemy access and a place to hang out and do his business, then just reserve yourself and hold yourself back from God. You see, in the areas where we refuse to allow the light of Christ, amen, receive even the truth, those are the areas of darkness, and those are the areas where the enemy camps out and does his dirty deeds, amen, his dirty business. So if you want to be free indeed, you're going to have to open up wide, amen, and let God in to every part of your life. Give him the full offering. Amen. God wants to fully possess his people. And in order for you to have the abundant life, for me to have the abundant life, it requires a full surrender to the Lord. And that's where it's at. You know, it's in the areas where, again, where we want to be sympathetic towards sin, for example. You want to compromise with sin. Well, those are the areas where the enemy continues to establish his stronghold. And his whole thing is to get into your life, to have a place of security in you, a place where you're being sympathetic towards him, so that he can do his dirty business in messing you up and people around you as well. So God wants us to be free from that devil. Amen. We should have nothing to do with the devil, right? Nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. And it's the word of God that brings exposure to these things. If we're willing to receive the word, amen, then we're willing to receive Jesus. Because you can't say you receive Jesus if you're not receiving his word, because Jesus is the word. Amen. So we need to get that straight, because there's a lot of folks that just, they talk about receiving Jesus. The question is, did Jesus receive you? Well, I received Jesus. Did he receive you? Are you born again? Have you truly repented from your heart? You see, the Lord's going to come where he's really welcomed and invited. And if a person says, well, yeah, you can have this, you can't have that, well, the Lord's not going to kick the door down. You know, he'll occupy the places where you allow him to be. And, you know, in the areas where we think, oh, I don't want God in this place. I don't want God to know what's going on in the attic. And certainly don't be looking in that closet over there. But those are the areas where the enemy will continue to camp out, and he'll work from there in hopes that he can take more and more territory. So free indeed, whomsoever the Son sets free, yeah, is free indeed. All right. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, thank you for everybody. Thank you for allowing us to be here together today. And thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful to accomplish that which you've begun. And Lord, we're here because we want to be changed. We want you to do a work in us, Lord. We know that you're getting us ready for eternity. And Lord God, we also believe that now is our time to shine. Now is our time to rise. And Lord, even to open our hearts, open our mouths, and begin to declare the praises of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Lord, you told us that we are the salt and that we are the light. So, Lord, we ask you to give us grace, give us strength, give us help, Lord, to be just that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of the message today is Overcoming Oppression. Overcoming oppression. To be pressed down. We all know what it's like to be in a place spiritually where you just feel like you're bound up. You know, like nothing is happening. You feel like you're just in a place where sometimes you can't even feel God anymore. You ever been there? It's like you're not feeling God. And you're wondering what's going on. Have I grieved the Lord? Have I, you know, is the Lord angry with me? What's going on here? Now, sometimes the decisions we've made can grieve the heart of God. Amen. And sometimes the Lord will lift his hand for a season, because the Lord wants us to understand that it's not okay, amen, just to do whatever we want, because we are representatives of him. We're his ambassadors, and we're not to represent our own interests here. We represent the one who sends us. So sometimes, yeah, we can feel that disconnect because of choices we're making, because we're willing to do something that we know grieves the Lord. And that's why we're admonished not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen. But also there's other times when just the enemy is trying to throw stuff on us and to squash us down and to try to snuff us out. And how many know that he's using fear quite effectively today? He's using fear to try to silence the people of God, and so that they don't stand up and speak up for what their rights are, their God-given rights. But even beyond what's happening in the natural and in the political system, you know, we're in a spiritual war. That's what's really going on. And so the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, right? They're not of human origin, but they're mighty through God to this pulling down of strongholds. God has given to his church, his people, everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. And but what we receive needs to be activated by faith, a step of faith, of obedience to do what God tells you to do, what he shows you to do, what he tells you to say. When you step out for God in obedience to what he's telling you, he will meet you there. God will meet you in the place of your obedience. And in Judges chapter 6, I want to revisit this because Gideon, in fact, we're talking about this in Sunday school at 9:15 every Sunday morning. If you want to come out, we're doing just a verse by verse, book by book study. And Wayne's doing a tremendous job here. He does his homework. But anyways, Judges is a very powerful book. And Midian was a man who was called of God to do great things. But Gideon, within himself, didn't feel like he was much and that he could do much. And you know, guys, think about it. Apart from the Lord, really, we can't do much. And we're not much. Amen. But we're much if God is in us and we're allowing God to work through us. Amen. But it's going to require a faith in what God has promised, what God has said. It's not enough just to believe in something. Amen. If you believe something, then you will live accordingly. Your life will reflect what you believe. The way you live your life will reflect what you really believe. So you claim to be a Christian. A Christian is a follower of Jesus. Amen. And a follower of Jesus will bear that kind of fruit. People in the world should look at your life and say, now that's one of those Christians there. That's one of those Jesus people, you know. Jesus freaks even, you know. But think about it. We need people around us, not to see us, but to see Jesus. Amen. We don't make this about us. You can't be a Christian, as you know, for you. Jesus didn't come with his own agenda. He did his Father's will. And he was an example for us in everything that he did. He only said, what I speak, what my Father speaks, I do what I see my Father do. And that's why Jesus had success. Amen. Because he stripped himself of everything he had to become a man, right? Like you and I. To dwell among us. Amen. And to live a sinless life. To bear our sins on the cross. And now he ever lives to make intercession for us as our great high priest in the heavens. Aren't you glad that we have an advocate with the Father? We have somebody that we can call on and know that he's there for us. I blow it too, guys. And when I do, I learn just to call on Jesus, because the devil wants you to just run around with your tail between your legs, and he's going to keep kicking you and beating you down and reminding you of how bad you are. What we need to do is remind him how good God is. Amen. And we talk to the Lord and we call upon our great high priest, the Lord. Amen. Our advocate. Hallelujah. And the blood is there on the mercy seat in heaven on our behalf. Praise God. We have forgiveness of sins. So you don't have to live in condemnation. You don't have to live in fear or guilt or shame or any of these things that the enemy wants to throw on you to oppress you, to try to snuff out your testimony. We need to learn how to fight and overcome oppression. We need to learn how to overcome that devil. Amen. And we can through the power that God supplies us in the name of Jesus. So Israel had sinned against the Lord. In Judges 6:1, it says, Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Who delivered them into the hand of Midian? The Lord did, because they sinned against him. You see, sometimes the Lord has to punish his people to get their attention. And so he gave them over to their enemies to teach them a lesson. And so as a result, fear came upon all the people. They went into hiding. And that's what happens when people are afraid, is they go into hiding. If you and I are in fear, then we try to hide in our cave. Are you hearing me? Sometimes we'll withdraw and try to hide out within ourselves. But God doesn't want us in the cave. He wants us out of the cave. Amen. He wants us walking in our God-given freedom so we can be an expression for him. And so we need to learn how to overcome the attacks, the oppression of the enemy, the accusations of the enemy, who's constantly trying to accuse us before God. Amen. And even reminding us of the things that we've done in the past, how rotten you are. Do you think God really forgives you for all those rotten things you did? Yes, because that's what he said. And I'm going to put my faith in what God said and not what the devil's telling me. Amen. So when you hear that accuser, you turn to your advocate right away. And you say, Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your blood that avails for me. Thank you that my sins are forgiven. Thank you that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we receive the promises of God. Amen. We live according to the truth and not according to the lie. But if the enemy can keep us from receiving truth, then he can keep us bound up in the lie and keep us oppressed, pressed down, and fruitless. God wants us to break out of that place of complacency. He wants us to shatter that indifference. Amen. Cast it off and rise up in his name, putting your confidence, your faith, and the ability that your God will supply you to do exactly what he told you you could do. And so verse 2 says, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves, there it is, the dens, the caves, and the strongholds, which are in the mountains. They went into hiding. And the next thing is their oppressors begin to steal from them. And they impoverished them. In verse 3 it says, so it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up also. Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. And they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. See, that's what the devil does. He's a thief. He came to rob, to kill, and to destroy. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Guys, I think in America today, we're at a place where we're looking at a lot of things, at least in the natural, that are appearing to be impossible. We're wondering, is this thing ever going to turn around? Is anything going to change? Is it going to continue in this direction? And I believe that what is happening, but it's not happening to the degree that it must happen, is that God's people are starting to wake up and realize what's going on and say, hey, how did we get here? Well, while we slept, the enemy was very busy. So God is trying to wake up his people. And I believe the Lord has drawn his hand back for a season to get our attention so we will return to the Lord so that he might revive us, amen, and raise us up once again to be salt, to be light, to be influencers in society. But we can't do that apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. So we need to first realize that we need God, amen, to fill up those areas of our poverty. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who realize that they don't have what's required to do what God has called them to do apart from him. Amen. So that we'll have a hunger, we'll have a thirst for the presence of the Lord and able to do the will of God. Because apart from him, we can do. Amen. So as a result of this oppression, they began to call on the Lord again. In verse 7, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites and whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice, you see. Too many right now are just willing to bow down. Just a little pressure, a little peer pressure. We need to make a stand now, because I've discovered something, that when I stand up for God, for what's right, God stands up in me. And God gives me confidence. God gives me boldness. God gives me his courage. Amen. And so we need to be in a place right now where we resolve, no matter what, we're going to be faithful to Jesus. Amen. We're going to do the will of God. We're not going to allow man to tell us what to do. If it contradicts the word of God, we're not going there. We're not bowing down to it. How many know that God says he wants us together? He wants us gathering in his name. So we're going to gather because Jesus said so. Amen. Stand up for the Lord. Amen. And he'll stand up for you. He's looking for someone who's willing to trust and obey. He's looking for someone whose heart is loyal towards him. Someone who will stand in the gap. Someone will say, Lord, we're with you. We know your heart is redemptive. We know your heart is to save. Your heart is to turn this situation around. Lord, your heart is to set every captive free. Your heart is to turn America back to God. Hallelujah. And so we're going to come into agreement with what your will is in heaven, that we may see your kingdom come and will be done here in America. God can turn this around. Hallelujah. But the Lord is waiting for his church to wake. And in the longer that we wait to return, the more difficult things are going to get. That's what I see. You see, the Lord's going to speak louder and louder. If you're still not listening, he's going to get a little louder. Why? Because his eye is on his people. His eye is on his church. He wants his church prepared. Amen. He wants a glorious church. He wants a bride. Hallelujah. He doesn't want a prostitute. He doesn't want a compromising church. He wants a church that is holy. Amen. And walking in integrity. We represent his honor. We got to quit like men. Amen. That's how we used to live. We have a new normal now. What used to be normal is now abnormal. And the world's going to think you're abnormal because they're normal is abnormal. They just don't know it yet. I didn't know it. I thought there's something wrong with those creepy Christian people. What's wrong with those people? They ain't having fun like I am, waking up in the morning vomiting and all that, you know. Yeah, just... God's placed us here, guys. He's placed us here for such a time as this. In verse 11, it says, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in, I was going to say Ophrah, which belongeth to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon did what? Threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Gideon himself is in a winepress trying to hide out from his enemy. He was just as oppressed as everybody else around him. They were in fear for their lives. And when you're in fear, what do? Again, you go into hiding. You know, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, right? A spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Yet we can allow the enemy to put us in a bubble of self-protectionism, okay, to try to hide ourselves away from everything that's going on around us. And of course, COVID's had a great excuse and a great impact on many, where people have just kind of gone into the little holes here and there, and into their homes and their living rooms, and nobody comes out and nobody comes in because we're afraid we might catch the bug. Well, it's had a psychological impact on people all over the world. I'm not saying you don't use common sense, okay? I'm just saying that we need to understand that the enemy uses things such as that to try to control people because he's an oppressor. Amen? He uses fear to control and manipulate people to do what he wants them to do, even sometimes contrary to their own conscience. Because we got to come to a place as God's people, we say the will of God is more important to me than anything else or the opinions of men. Let God be true and every man a liar. And we need to make a stand. Our lives belong to the Lord. Our lives are in the palm of His hand. Hallelujah. I belong to Jesus now. Amen. My life is His. Hallelujah. What is man? What can man do to me? As Martin Luther said, the body they can kill, but God's truth abideth still. God's got us. What we need to do is rise up, amen, in the power that God's given us and the authority that God's given us. And we need to make a difference in this world by standing against, resisting evil. Now, well, I don't know, those Midianites. It's pretty big. Pretty scary. I think I'll just play it safe. I think I'll just kind of shrivel up in the corner here and be nice. How many know that Jesus wasn't always nice? Jesus wasn't nice when it came to evil. How many know Jesus wasn't being nice when he drove out the money changers? Amen. What Jesus are we serving here? The Jesus just accommodates everything that the world throws on us and tries us to conform to? Or the Jesus who opposes that which is evil? Oh, this is politically correct today, isn't it? We're salt and we're light. In verse 12, it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. This is the call of Gideon. And hear it. He said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. I love this. Today, God is calling out the Gideons that are hiding in fear. Are you a Gideon? I believe the church is to rise up. Amen. To the call of God in this hour. And say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God is on the throne. He is Lord of the nations. He is sovereign over all the earth. And his word, amen, supersedes all other words. And his name is greater than all other names. We need to rise up in this hour, in this time. And join and partner with the Lord. Knowing that our lives belong to Him. But guys, if we bow down and we give in to fear, then the enemy will continue to enslave America. That's the problem. As he's using fear to control the masses. But the church needs to rise up in this hour and say, we're going to take back this nation in the name of Jesus. We're going to oppress and come against this oppression. Amen. We're going to get on it like the old song from Petra. We're going to get on our knees and fight like a man. Amen. We're going to storm heaven and we're going to call the reign of God in. Hallelujah to this place and say, Lord, get a hold of these politicians. Amen. Get a hold of their hearts. Lord, bring them to repentance. Bring them to their knees. Hallelujah. Amen. If they have to go out and eat grass like a cow, whatever it takes. But we want to see people saved. Amen. Just like God's heart is in redemption. But guys, we cannot allow, though, the enemy to steal from us any longer. The longer we wait and the longer we just hide out in our caves and play it safe, if you will, the more that the enemy's going to take. And I find that when we pray and we get together, and I'm praying for America, that God's very much in that prayer. God is quickening. God is saying, this is what I want to do. I want to turn your captivity. I want to break the oppression off of you. I want to raise you back up, and I can make you great again. But don't give in to the lies and the fear, amen, and the hopelessness that the devil's peddling right now, to make it look like it's worse than it really is, because he's an exaggerator. And he's got his false prophets, the mainstream, that media, trying to control the narrative, to get everybody to think a certain way, to make everybody think that a minority are actually the majority. And if, oh, we got this magnification of this, the Midianites are coming, oh, who are we, what can we do? And God says, Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. The Lord is with you. What did God do? God came to encourage him. And Gideon said, Lord, if God is with us, verse 13, why then has all this happened to us? And where are his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Yes, that's true. God did. But that was not supposed to be the end. That was supposed to be a temporary thing to get their attention. Because what happened is they began to call on the Lord again. Again, that's what's happening here, guys. God wants his people calling on him again. God wants his people praying again, amen, and seeking his face again and turning from their wicked ways. Then he would hear from heaven and forgive our sin and heal our land. God wants to heal America. But it's going to require his people, you and I, coming together in agreement and say, Lord, we want your kingdom to come. We want your will to be established here in America, Lord. We're partnering with you. We'll be a vessel for you to work through. And listen to what God told Gideon in verse 14. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours. Here he is. Remember, he's in the wine press. He's fearful, probably depressed, certainly oppressed, right? And the Lord says, you go in this might of yours. He's saying, what might? I'm just trying to get into the head of Gideon here. What was Gideon thinking? Because he's like, man, it's almost a hopeless situation here. We're so oppressed. Man, we're even afraid to come out of our holes, you know? And the Lord shows up. Why? Because God's people began to cry out to the Lord. You want God to show up in your house? Start crying out to God. We want God to show up in America. We need to cry out as a church. Guys, we haven't got time to be complacent right now. Time is of the essence. God has given us a window of opportunity right now, amen, to call on him and turn this thing around. I believe God is able to do it. And I believe God wants to do it. Are we going to agree with him? Yes, let's get in there with him, amen. We had a great prayer meeting, by the way, Friday night. Wasn't it good? At 6:30, we had just a tremendous time in the presence of the Lord here. Hallelujah. And by the way, we had a great time at Glory Barn yesterday. Great time in the Lord. Hallelujah. So what I want to say is this. If you are a child of God in Christ, you already have everything you need. You see, Gideon had everything he needed. He just didn't know it yet. God had to tell him what he had. Just like God had to tell Moses what he had in his hand. Well, what's that in your hand, Moses? Well, it's a rod. It's a stick. Cast it down. Apply faith. All right? You got to make a step in the right direction. When you step in agreement with God's will for you, with God's command for you, God will show up in that place. God will confirm his word with accompanying signs. So you only need to repent of your sin and your worldliness. And then you and I need to take up our cross once again, amen, and follow Jesus. Because God wants to confirm his word. with accompanying signs. So while Gideon was in fear, God came to him and encouraged him. And the weapons of our warfare, by the way, are not carnal. Remember 2 Corinthians 10:4, but they're mighty in God. Now hear this, guys. Our effectiveness as a believer is not necessarily a lack of faith. Well, it could be. But it's certainly not a lack of authority. But it's a lack of faith in that God-given authority. So you can be, I use this illustration, but you can be a police officer. You can be, you know, authorized, you can be commissioned, all right, to enforce the law. But if you don't know who you are as a police officer and the authority that you have, even though I see they're trying to take that away from them, but they used to have authority, right? But if they don't understand that, they could be like Barney Fife. What did you learn in church today? Barney Fife, yeah. But a police officer has to believe that that badge means something. And if a cop knows that they have authority, people that they encounter usually will pick up on this guy knows who he is and knows the authority that he possesses. Is this making sense? Likewise, the devil knows those who know who they are in Christ and the authority that they have. But if a person may have authority and God has given them authority, but if they don't believe in that authority that God has given them, the enemy will pick up on that. And he'll begin to beat you around, kick you around, abuse you, torment your mind. If you don't understand what God has already given you in Christ. John 1:12, to as many as received him, to them he gave the exousia, the power, meaning authority to become the sons of God. As by virtue of our new birth, amen, we have authority as sons and daughters. Amen. But if we don't know that, if we don't believe that, then the enemy will continue to oppress us. And God wants his people free from all oppression. All oppression. We are not to be bound by anything or anyone. As a matter of fact, no man owns me. Except one. I belong to Jesus, the man Christ Jesus. But no man owns me. I'm no man's slave. Are you hearing me, somebody? I'm a free man in the Lord. I may work for an employer, but I'm a free man in the Lord. And when I do my job, I work as unto the Lord and not unto man. When I obey the laws of the land that are good, that don't contradict the will of God, I'm obeying as unto the Lord and not unto man. We're not doing it to men please, right? But we do everything as unto the Lord. Whatever we do in word and deed, do all to the glory of God. So we're given the task to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to take authority over demons and over disease, right? Gideon needed to be reminded of who he was. You're a mighty man of valor. He says you're a mighty warrior, Gideon. And you know, guys, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of the Lord. When the Lord came and he spoke that to him, it did something in him. He began to realize, wow, God's with me. God's for me. Therefore, who can be against me? Are you hearing me, somebody? Who can really be against you if you're a child of God? They can't touch your soul. It belongs to the Lord. Jesus said in John 14:12, here's one we know very well, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Jesus was talking about going to the Father, sending the Holy Spirit. Amen. And there will be many more representing him in the Father's business here on the earth, taking after our great high priest Jesus and our brother, our older brother. And Jesus said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. What do we need? We just need to have faith in God. That's easy to say, isn't it? Oh, brother, just have faith in God. You know, you ever have somebody come up to you when you're really beat down and just slap you on the back. I just have faith in God. Well, it's true. And sometimes it's not what we want to hear, but it's what we need to hear. But, you know, what that really means in the original language, it actually means have faith of God. Have faith of God. In other words, God will give you a supernatural ability to believe. You need to have the grace of faith, the gift of faith that God gives so that you can do what He's called you to do in full confidence. Because our faith can be limited and shaken easily. But when we come to the Lord and we drink from Him, amen, we receive from Him, we receive an impartation of His Spirit, hallelujah, amen, and His strength, it gives us a supernatural confidence. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you feel armored up, you feel emboldened, you feel strong, amen, because it's a faith that God is imparting to you by His Spirit. So what we need is the faith of God. That comes from our faith in God. So we put our faith in God and then we receive the faith of God. Whew. Oh. It's because the Lord clothes us in His armor. He clothes us in Himself. And when you put the armor on, amen, you have confidence. You have boldness. You're not afraid. You're not in fear. God doesn't want us to be fearful. See, Timothy had a problem with being timid and shy. And said, Paul told him, he said, Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He says, this is what you need to agree with. This is what you need to receive, is what God said. And not how you're feeling about things. And if you're having a problem with timidity, the best way to overcome timidity is to do the opposite of it. The best way to overcome fear is with faith in God. Amen? So if the enemy's telling you you can't and God says you will, you say, okay, Lord, we're going to do this together. And you step out and you'll see that the enemy will move out of your way. Because the enemy is a good bluffer. He bluffs us all the time. He also sows this fear of what might happen or what could happen so that we'll all just shut down in fear and become ineffective for the king. Because the enemy is actually afraid of those who know who they are in the Lord and are willing to step out for Jesus. God's looking for a few Peters. Amen? That'll just step out of the boat. Guys, my calling is not yours. Yours is not mine. We all have a different assignment, a gift set, a responsibility. But what we do need to do is be faithful to what God has entrusted to us, what He's put in our hands, the authority, the responsibility He's given to us. Amen. If you're a parent, amen, your responsibility is your children, amen, your husband, your wife. But all of us have been given a sphere of influence where we may work, find ourselves, amen, to be salt and to be light, and that going in the exousia, the authority as the son and daughter, amen, representing the king. But guys, authority by itself is not enough. We need authority and dunamis, authority and power, amen. So the enemy, the devil, he does not understand mercy, guys. Let's negotiate with the terrorists. I was listening to a negotiator, and he was saying, he said, these guys don't understand negotiating and mercy. They only understand strength. They understand authority when somebody knows that, hey, we could get stomped by this individual. Then they respect that. Are you hearing me? But they don't respect somebody that's just willing to say, let's just all sit around and sing Kumbaya and get along. Amen? Because we're in a war here. And you know, the devil is working through people. And likewise, he's trying to get to us also, to try to strike a deal with the enemy, to compromise with the enemy. Let's just get along. Let's just be friends in a weird kind of way. Are you hearing me? Guys, we cannot be friends with our enemy. Amen? And you cannot trust your enemy for anything. You don't make deals with the devil. You have nothing to do with that dude. Amen? As a matter of fact, we're supposed to oppose him and expose him. And the light always wins. You remember the violent protesters. Things have settled down a bit. But man, there was some crazy stuff going on in the streets. And you know why it got so crazy? It's because a few of those people out there have said, hey, they're standing down. There's no authority out here. They're not doing their jobs. They're told not to. So what does that do? That emboldens evil. That's how the enemy operates. He'll be emboldened if we're just trying to get along. Well, no. Don't want to oppose any of this. Let's just get along. Let's just sit down and negotiate. How many know that doesn't work? Because the enemy doesn't understand that. He has no mercy, guys. And we should have no mercy on him. You know, people thought God was being harsh when he'd send them in. He said, wipe them all out. Take out everything. Because he knew it was like a scourge. It was like a cancer. And they were given over, fully given over to evil. And if they didn't purge that, amen, then it would spread. Evil would spread. There's a time of peace and there's a time of war. War sometimes is a necessary, amen, it's necessary for the prevention of worse catastrophes and abuse. And we're in a war for the souls of mankind. Even for our own personal liberties and our own freedoms, we can bow down, we can give in to fear, and we can just relinquish control to someone else who really doesn't have good plans for us. Or we can stand up in this hour and call on the name of the Lord and pray that God will wake up and shake up Americans, amen, to the point where they once again are calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. Where the church is coming out of complacency and apathy and beginning to cry out to God once again. Amen. And God says to his church that you are my warriors. You are my soldiers. You've been enlisted, amen, to represent me. Hallelujah. And the weapons that I give to you are not of human origin, but they're mighty in me, amen, to bringing down those strongholds. Hallelujah. And God wants to turn our captivity, and God wants to break the oppression off America, and it's going to require a church rising up and calling on the name of the Lord. For we do not wrestle, Ephesians 6:12, against flesh and blood. So guys, we need to separate this. People are lost, just like you and I were lost once. The Apostle Paul, once Saul, being a terrorist, God saved him and used him mightily. Amen. But this battle's not going to be won because a few politicians get together and say, let's just have peace. It requires God's intervention now. Amen. We must get into the place where we realize that, guys, all the other things, I think a lot of us are sitting around saying, well, I hope something changes here. I hope something changes there. Oh, it looks like it might be changing over here. It may be changing over there. Oh, no, I guess it's not changing over there. Maybe it's going to change over here. And while we're just sitting around saying, well, I hope those guys over there do something about it, the enemy's taking territory. And I think the enemy's also sowing some hopium these days, you know. False hope. Now, God gives true hope. Amen. But sometimes I think the enemy uses a false hope to get people just to relax and not do anything. Oh, it's taken care of. I don't need to pray. We'll let those other Christians over there. I'll let my brothers and sisters go out there and pray, but I don't need to pray. They won't miss me anyways. Are you hearing me? Somebody else will do it. And the enemy says, perfect. Yeah, you just stay right there in your hole, in your cave, in your place of protectionism. You know, and don't get in my way because I've got things to do. And you and I need to realize what's going on. We need to say, Lord, I don't want to be a passive bystander because passivity was not going to get this fixed. Amen. It's going to require passion. A passion for Jesus. And a passion that is birthed in the Holy Spirit. Not something that we just hype up and go out and have a pep rally. But we need God's power. We need the stirring up of the heart. Amen. By the Holy Spirit of God, the fire of God to fall on the church. Amen. To ignite us. To give us that holy passion. To stir up the gift of God within us once again. So all of a sudden we start to desire the things that the Lord desires now. And the lesser things of this world, amen, are not controlling us anymore. We don't care about those things. What we do care about is the mission of the Lord. And accomplishing the will of God for my life while He's given me an opportunity. How many know that we're running out of time? The night is coming when no man shall work. Today is the day of salvation, of healing and deliverance. Hallelujah. God's word. When God says something, when God speaks, His word carries authority. Amen? And God's power confirms that authority. God speaks with authority, and His power confirms that authority. So you could be a child of God here today and have authority, but without power, it doesn't do you much good. You can even know who you are, but you're not going to see the manifestation until you understand that it's going to require God's power for me to do what God told me to do. Authority and power must work together in our lives. That's why, guys, I'm always saying, listen, we got to be people of presence, of His presence. We got to be people of prayer. You don't pray, you don't have power. It's your relationship. It's your connection to Him who is the vine, who will supply all that you have need of. But we've got to be people of His presence again. We've got to get past this thing of just coming and doing a little thing on the weekend. Amen. And then putting the toys away and going back to our old lives. God wants us to walk with Him every day and walk in the authority and the power that He makes available to us through His Holy Spirit. And I find that when we obey the word of the Lord and we do what God tells us to do, His power will confirm that word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep on praying for your loved ones. Keep on believing. Don't get weary in well-doing. In due season, God's season, you will reap. Hallelujah. If you do not lose heart. Whew. How many remember this one? Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples. Do what? Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe what? All things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Paul prayed for the Ephesians, Ephesians 1:18. He prayed that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And verse 19, here it is. What is the exceeding greatness of His power, dunamis, toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? How many know our gospel is more than just a word? The word carries the authority, but you need the power to confirm that word. Guys, we can be a bibliophile. We can have all the information, all the knowledge. Oh, I can tell you all about the Bible and what God said in His Word. But what we need, amen, is the power of God, amen, to confirm that Word so that it becomes a living Word producing fruit, good fruit, amen, bearing the evidence that Jesus is risen from the dead. When people are being set free, hallelujah, you know that God is on the scene. Faith is believing that God is. And that He will do what He promised He would do. I like the New Living Translation, Hebrews 11:1. It says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. I'm believing for a turnaround in America. Call me crazy, but I believe in a turnaround. So our faith is believing that God's going to do what He promised He would do in His Word, if His people. And this is why we need to stir one another up, encourage one another. Amen. Hey, just get in the race. You've fallen out. You've been on the sidelines. Get back in the race. Amen. Get back to the altar. Get on fire for God. Amen. And don't let the fire go out. Our responsibility as a priesthood is to keep that fire going. Are you hearing me? We have to trim the wick, amen, and we have to keep that flame going. God supplies the oil, but my responsibility is to keep that oil in the vessel, amen. So that I can do what God's told me to do, because apart from Him. Yeah. So Gideon, he knew that he could not defeat the Midianites in his own strength. But he needed the faith of God. And the faith of God came when he heard the word of the Lord. When God confirmed what probably Gideon maybe never knew or had forgotten about. That Gideon, you are a mighty warrior. And I'm going to use you and only a handful of people out of 32,000. Okay, we're going to reduce this down because I want people to know that it's not by might nor power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And he reduced it down to 300 to defeat their enemies. Amen. And guys, when we came over to this place on the Mayflower, that long ago, no. But we're kind of like coming into a freedom. That's how I like to look at it. We just... You know, the Lord spoke to us that we're going to be a Gideon church, you know. We may not be big, but we're going to be effective. Amen? We'll be powerful in God and effective. And there's been times where we've seen that kind of wane a little bit. And we kind of got caught up in all the stuff of the world and all the distractions. And God's starting to take a second place. And all of a sudden you start to feel like, hey, wait a minute, something is missing here. Where's the presence of the Lord? Where are the miracles of God like we used to know? Well, what is it going to take? Just an attitude adjustment. That's it. We realize, hey, we're not where we need to be. It's time to make a decision. How many here realize that you are important in God's plan? That you are a part of God's plan? That in Christ you are also a mighty warrior who's been authorized in His name to go. Amen? And that God will supply the oil, the power of His Holy Spirit, so that there would be a confirmation of His word. As you are faithful to obey Him and do what He tells you to do, God will confirm that word through accompanying signs. And so as a church, we need to wake up. And as a church in America, amen, we need to be praying for the church in general, that we're going to wake up, amen. We're going to get off the religious platform and playing church platform and be the church. Be who we are. Be salt. Be light. Be warriors for Jesus. Guys, God has given us already what we need to accomplish the mission. Salvation in our land. I believe it. Healing in our land. Guys, people should not be having to live bound up, amen, in fear. Bound up by devils. Because God's telling us, I want you to drive them out. I want you to take authority in your own life. Amen? I want you to come against anything that will stand between you and God's mission for you. Anything that's coming between you and your destiny, I want you to take authority over it. If there's anything that's hindering you in your walk, get rid of it. If it's a giant that's in your path, tell it to go. Amen. Don't bow down to it anymore. If it's a giant of fear, it's time for us to rise up and say, I'm a mighty warrior. God has authorized me and given me the power to defeat this giant. I'm not going to bow down to it anymore. But what if the enemy tries to get on all of us? He tries to oppress all of us. You and I do not have to allow it. Don't put up with it anymore. We must actively reject and renounce Satan in our thought life. We must actively reject and renounce Satan in our thought life. And we must receive by faith the power of God. He's after your faith. The enemy's after your faith. In Numbers 33, verse 51, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, verse 52, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their engraved stones. Destroy all their molded images and demolish all their high places. In other words, don't allow any place for the enemy in your life. No place. No compromise. We're at war. You cannot compromise with your enemy and defeat your enemy. You need to choose this day who you're going to serve, whose side you're on, who you're with. Because you can't be lukewarm anymore. God is separating. God is bringing that sword down to divide between the sheep and the goats. It's time for you to make a decision whose side you're going to be on. And even though it may be a small army, it may be a 300 Gideon army, God's going to have a people. He's going to have a remnant. And He'll do mighty things through those who say, Lord, I'll go. I'm not going to be like those fearful ones that went back because they were afraid of the 22,000. Oh, they had a big army, but a lot of them are too afraid. So God said, I can't use them. And the ones who are alert and watchful, He said, those are the ones that I need right there. And He said in verse 53, you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it. For I have given you the land to possess. All right. Now, are we going to allow the inhabitants, the enemies of God, to have their way? Or are we going to possess territory and the land for Jesus Christ? Amen? And it's going to require you and I as an individual right here getting right with God. Getting the sin out and the things that we're doing that God says no. Even get rid of the good things that have become obsessions. Good things that have choked you from doing what God's called you to do. And get back to that place. Get back and fall in love with Jesus all over again. And get on fire for God. Pray until you, amen, you are endued with power from on high. Until that you're fully awake. Until you come to full flame. And you start to burn for Jesus again with a holy passion. And you're going to desire the things that He desires. And you're going to hate the things that He hates. And you're not going to want to do anything. You won't want anything to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Matthew 11 and verse 12. Jesus said this. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. What's the violence He's talking about here? He's talking about the resolve to drive out all the enemies from our lives. God told Israel to dispossess their enemies. To get rid of all, okay, anything to do with the occult. Anything to do with any other gods. Break them down, crush them, get rid of them, right? But He said dispossess. That means you take that place where the enemy was. And He said the violent are going to take it by force, meaning that they're not going to be around passive and hoping it's going to change. They're going to take steps to make sure that the enemy has no longer a root, a stronghold in their life. You got to get mad at the devil. You're in a war. You cannot be passive and hope he's just going to go away. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And just before that, it says, submit to God. Then resist the devil. So, whatever it is that's coming between you and your destiny, what God wants for you, your freedom, your deliverance, don't take no for an answer. That devil must go. That giant must move. He must come down. Are you hearing me, guys? Why? Because God has given us his weaponry. He's given us his power. He's given us his authority, the authorization to enforce what Jesus has already accomplished at the cross. He spoiled principalities and powers, rulers of wickedness. Come on, somebody. Our God is with us. Our God is for us. And our God is greater than the boogeyman. Don't be afraid of your adversary. Rise up. When you find yourself being fearful, cry out to God. Call out to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Clap your hands. All you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Amen. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. God has overcome the enemy of our soul. And we are given the responsibility to enforce what God has already done. We enforce what he's already done. If you don't believe that, then you won't receive that. But if you're going to say, I'm going to believe what God said, not how it looks, I'm not going to live by sight, I'm going to quit entertaining all the stuff the media wants to tell me of how bad it is. You never notice there's no good news anymore. It's all negative. Well, it's designed to discourage you in your faith. You need to look higher than that. You need to look above that and look to God. But God. God can and God will, if we will, submit ourselves to him. Return to him as a nation. Cry out to him. And it has to begin with you. It has to begin with me saying, I'm going to be one who will stand in the gap. And I'm going to be an example for my brothers and sisters. Amen. Though none go with me, still I'm going to follow. Because the day's going to come when they're going to be looking for somebody that knows how to get a hold of God. And if you're walking with God now, you're learning to walk with him now, to lean on him, to know how to, amen, to move in God's authority. There's going to be a time when people are going to say, what must I do to be saved? But it's going to require you and I, Gideon's army. We've enlisted. We're going with Jesus. Amen. Let's do this together. Let's encourage one another. We need good morale in the army. We don't need the naysayers and the discouragers. We need to hear from God. Amen. Get a hold of God's word, God's faith, God's promise, and move out for him. Amen. And watch what God will do, because we are united. And together we are a powerful force. Amen. Against the evil of our time. I truly believe that the devil does not have an upper hand. God's on the throne. God has lifted his hand for a season, but it's to get the attention, just like he did with Israel, of the American people, and especially the church, to start calling on the Lord again. God have mercy. God have mercy. God help us. God in mercy, intervene in America. God forgive our sins. God forgive the sins of our land. God, help us. God, we need you. We need your grace. We need you to intervene right now, God, in our nation. God, we need you to intervene in the White House. We need you to intervene in the House and the Senate. God, we need you to intervene in their local governments, God, in Washington State, God. Lord, get a hold of these politicians. Bring them to their knees in repentance, God. God, have mercy on America. Turn our nation back to you, God. Help us. We say, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would bring me to the place where I need to be. Do that work in my heart, Lord. Root out of me anything, God, that would be a hindrance to what you want to accomplish through me and in me. God, I ask you for help. I ask you for strength. Well, what is that in your hand? Well, guess what? We've already got what God wants us to have. We have authority and we have the word of our testimony. Hallelujah. And we speak the truth in love. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. And I'm going to finish with this. Luke 10:19, Jesus said to his disciples, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy," right? The power of the enemy. "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." Are we going to take up the mantle? Are we going to take up our calling? Amen. Are we going to respond to the call like Gideon said and said, "Okay, Lord, we're with you"? If we go with God, we will not lose. No matter what, we win.